What a pretty, that could be a Gerber jar face right there. Title of our message this morning, Believe Again. We need to believe again, don't we, like we once did? You know, there was a time I know in my life, I'm talking to me personally. Every time I preach a message, I'm talking on me too. So I'm just not sitting out there, but it's for me too. You know, we go through life, we go through storms, we go through trials. There's times our faith was so strong, and then tragedy hits, a storm hits, tribulation hits. And all of a sudden, our faith dinked a little bit. You know, all of a sudden, we maybe lose a step. You know, we pray for someone to live, and they died, and that takes a little notch out of our belt. You know, we pray for our marriage to be saved, and it's not saved. We pray for our child to be healed, maybe they're not healed. We have things in life that happen that chip away at our faith. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves all of a sudden not walking the way we know to walk as God's people, as Christians. We need to believe again. There's something said about faith. People of the world say, no such thing as faith. Faith is believing in something, you know, that's not really there. Faith is believing in something you can't see. Well, in a sense, that's true. But in a sense, it's also not true. I can see my God in all creation. I can see my God through my children. I can see God through my wife. I can see God through my own creation. He made me. I can see God through the love of humanity. I can see God in a lot of ways. But we've let the world come in and say, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. God doesn't move that way anymore. That was yesterday. Yeah, God did it then, but he won't do it now. Times have changed. Yes, times have changed. But God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. God doesn't change. We've changed, and that's the problem. We've let the world dictate how we believe. We've let things, let other voices that aren't voices of truth come into our lives and try to tell us how we should believe instead of seeing what God's Word says. We preach Wednesday night about about His Word's enough and how the authority of God's Word should be enough. I don't care who says what. If God said it, that's the highest authority of all. If God's Word says it, that's what I got to believe. See, I don't have to see everything to believe everything. I know there's a heaven waiting on God's people. I know there's a kingdom waiting on me. I know when I take my last breath, I'll be in eternity. I know that. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt that when I release my physical breath here, I'm going to be in the presence of God forevermore. I trust that, I believe that, and I know that. And nobody in the world can talk me out of that. There's no such thing as a heaven, no such thing as eternal life, no such thing as beyond here. I know that, and nobody can talk me out of that. Now, one thing I'll talk about faith is this, and I've said this before, and I've used this example. The greatest miracle possible is not cancer being healed or the deaf hearing or the blind seeing. To me, the greatest thing we can believe in is this, that Jesus took away all of our sin and we are now righteous in His eyes because of His grace. Now, if we believe that God saved us from hell, if we really believe that God could love somebody like me, somebody like you, all of our failures, all of our faults, all of our mistakes, all of our sin, if we really believe God can step in like He did on the cross and say, I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west, and we truly believe that we are going to escape the judgment of God through His righteousness, what greater thing is there to believe in than that? Really think about that. I believe God saved me from hell, but I can't believe God can save me here on the earth from things I'm battling. I can't believe God can move here, but He moved on my behalf 2,000 years ago. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I wasn't in front of the cross when He bled, but I believe it happened. I wasn't one of the ones that saw Him when He gave up the ghost and cried out, forgive them, but I believe it happened. I wasn't there when He raised out of the tomb the third day and came out, but I believe it happened. I wasn't there when He ascended and said, I'll return again, but I believe it. I wasn't there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit moved in and overshadowed those 120, but I believe that it happened. I wasn't there when Lazarus was raised, but by George, I believe when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, He came out. I believe the Word of God. I believe what it says. I believe there's a kingdom. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's redemption for God's people. I believe that. And there's something about belief. Belief is more than fairy tale fiction. Belief is believing in something so strong it becomes a reality into your life. And faith is a reality in my life. It's not a byword, a religious word. It's not something that I cling to with my teeth hoping it's real. I believe and know that it's real. We've got to believe again. Believing means we step out of our comfort zone. We don't have to. And see, there's so many people, and I run into people that are so logically minded They have no spiritual understanding. I don't know. I don't have it on right now. I've got a watch I wear. Not here, but I got a watch I wear. I don't know the inward working of that watch. I don't know all the little gears and little things in there that make that watch tick. All I know is it tells me time. And I don't have to know. Gee, I wonder how that little hand moves. What really makes it move? Gee, I don't know. I can stare at it all day long. And they say if you stare at it, you can't see it move, right? So I'm staring at it. Well, it's 11:20 now. But I never saw it move. I can sit there and dissect that to death when all I need to know is the time. It's all I need to know is the time. Sometimes we focus so much on trying to figure things out instead of just trusting God's word. Like your mama told you, little boy, just trust me. I don't want, well, but why, mama? Because I know best. Just trust me. And when we trust mom and dad, things seem to work out, didn't it? And then we get older, we realize mom and dad were right about a lot of things. I should have listened. I should have trusted. I should have believed them. But we dig so much trying to disprove, the world trying to disprove God, that every time they try to disprove him, they're disproving him more. So believe what God said. Let's start in Genesis 12. Look what, this is the story of Abraham at the time. Now Abraham was nothing, I mean not nothing, but he was just a common man until God called him out. The Lord said to Abram, get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land I will show you. As I read this verse, I think about how God wants to show us things we've not yet seen and take us to places we've not yet been if we'll trust him. Just because we've always heard something don't mean we stay there. We didn't stay 6 years old. We became 8 years old and 10 years old and 12 years old. We didn't stay at McDonald's. We graduated up to something else. We didn't stay driving a 25-year-old vehicle when we were 16. We got a new car and got $400 payments the rest of our lives. We grew up and we took on things and we advanced. Do any of you anymore? I'll have one. There's always one in the crowd. Does any of you in here have a TV with no cable, no direct, no dish, no rabbit ears, nothing? Anybody? Nobody's got that anymore. We don't have to put tinfoil on the tips of our antennas anymore and stand like this to get reception. We have direct TV, dish, Time Warner cable. We have something. We advanced. And you know what? They offer that package. You've only got 200 channels. I'll get you 400 channels. Ooh, really? You can't watch 400 channels. But we grab to it. We don't even have to watch it. We advance. So spiritually, we need to keep advancing and keep going forward. See, God changes seasons. It's not always spring. It's not always summer. It's not always fall. It's not always winter. There's a change of seasons. God was changing Abram's season, saying, I've got something better for you if you'll believe me. Do you believe me for it? You're not going to see it right away. You're not going to understand all things. I'm not going to just unroll it and show you the whole picture, because then you're not walking by faith or trusting me. God wants our allegiance to a point that we don't have to see or understand it. We just have to believe it. God, I trust you. I so believe you above any other voice, above any other situation. I don't see it. Things aren't changing in my home. Things aren't changing in my life. Things aren't changing in my job. But God, I believe you. And I'm trusting you more than I'm trusting anything else. And I'll follow and I'll serve and I'll love and I'll believe until it comes to pass. Because I know one day it's going to come to pass. Just not in our time. There's a many, many seasons that we go through. And we want everything in the now season. But it don't always happen in the now season. But there is a season God has for you, and he had one for Abraham. He says, go to a land I'm going to show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram, what did he do? He left as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now think about this. He was 75. Even in that time frame, he was getting on up there. He was dawkish. You know, he was on up there. He lived to be 175. So 75, he's got some miles on him. Now there's some of the 75, we won't go to Walmart on a Friday night. I ain't going to Walmart on a Friday night. You crazy? I'm sitting here in this recliner watching my ABC Dateline news and eating my yogurt and popcorn. I ain't going nowhere. Here's Abram, 75, been there his whole life. All of his family's there, and God says, leave. Why? Because because I got something better for you. So he did it. He just simply did it. He left in his season. He left out of his comfort zone. He left not knowing where God was going to take him. He left not knowing what was going to happen. He left not having a sure future. Just like this ministry, when I left my job to start this church, there was no guarantee of it being successful. There was no guarantee of a paycheck for me. There was no guarantee that it would all work out. But as God spoke to me at the bicycle rack and said, "It is time," I knew. And I went home and told Melly, my supportive, loving wife, who told me, who knew the transition was happening, and says, "James, whatever you do, I'll follow. You know, I will follow you wherever you lead." Yes, but you said you'd follow me too. So what happened, she was all gung-ho until I come home that day and said, "God spoke to me, it's time to leave my job." And here's my great, faithful, spiritual, Holy Ghost-filled wife, who just so trusts God. Here's her response. "You sure that's God's voice you heard?" That was exactly her response. I said, "Melanie, are you sure?" "Yes, it's God's voice." I mean, she's a mother of three, not working. So, I mean, you know, it's a woman thing. She's going to be provided for. I said, "Yes, it's God's voice." And so I did. I left. And it was sad to leave. It was a sad season. I loved what I did. It wasn't like I was getting away from something I hated. I loved what I did. And if God hadn't called me, I imagine I'd still be doing it. And I'm going to man up here and be honest. I shed a few tears that last day. I walk out to my car. I'll never forget it. October 31st, Halloween Day, 2002, Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock. I'll never forget it. 2003 at 3 o'clock. It was so impactful. And I went to my car. 02 is when we started a church. That's what I keep getting that mixed up. 02 is when we started the ministry. 03 is when I left my job. So I walk out and I remember turning back, looking at the store, and I shed some tears getting in my car because I knew I was driving off that lot for the last time in the season I was in, and it was hard. And I remember having that weekend course off, and then Monday morning I woke up and I said, "Okay, God, send me some business. I need some sick folks, dead folks, something. I mean, I'm full time. Send me somebody. I got to work." So, I mean, I'm like, what am I going to do now with all these hours in a week? So, little by little, God did that. A few have passed on, and a few have gotten sick, and a few have gotten healed and well, and, you know, all that. But anyway, God truly did change my season and my family season. And, this is the only church my kids have known. They don't remember our home church. They were so little when we left. This is the only church they really remember. They have vague memories, but not a lot. Ashley was born as this ministry. Manley was carrying Ashley when we started this ministry. So she was born into this ministry. It's all she's known. And it was a scary season. But I believed God's voice. And church, I can't explain it because I had a good career. I was making good money, job security, and a great future ahead of me. And I remember punching a calculator so many times before I quit thinking, "How am I going to do this, God? I mean, how am I going to do this? I really don't want to stand and hold a sign to the end of the interstate, you know, serving Jesus, need money. I mean, what am I going to do, you know?" And I just began to just keep praying, and God just so confirmed that. I remember having so much peace when I left my job. And I know, looking back, it was the right thing. It's been hard. It's been a struggle. We've made many sacrifices. We've lost a lot financially through the years. But the total gain has been much more worth the material loss. And I truly thank God for that. And so I can relate to the story of Abraham a little bit because that's what he told me to do. Get out from what you know. Get out from, you know, for me. And just, I'm going to show you something greater. Just trust me. Now, understand, when I left my full-time job, we didn't have this church yet, this building. We didn't have this land yet. We're still in a fire department, about 40 people, had no land. I mean, we're renting out a fire station. I mean, there's times during my closing prayer, the fire alarm would go off. We thought Jesus was coming back. I mean, it was, we had some fun. I mean, think about that. We're in a fire department. And, you know, people have told me since, my best friend, he told me, he says, I couldn't have done what you've done, James. I could not have done what you've done. Well, you could have. God called you to do it, I believe. God called me to do this, and there's no doubt about that. And so anyway, I can relate to that. We don't like changing seasons, but it's necessary to get us to where God wants us to be. And they're hard. transitioning seasons can be very difficult. They can be very hard. But in the end, just like a mother giving birth, the most pain they say, thank God, I don't know, the most pain they say, of course, is labor. When you're in labor and you're pushing that life out of the womb, it's the greatest pain for a woman. They say it's the closest she can come to death in some cases. But yet, when that baby is born and you're holding that child in your arms, you don't remember the pain anymore, do you? All of a sudden, Belen, the pain's not there, is it? You look at little Anthony, or big 6'4" Anthony now, and little Sasha, and you're like, what pain? I don't remember no pain. All I see is joy now. That's kind of how it is when we change seasons. There's pain in the transition, but when we get into our season, yes, this is right. This is where I belong. This is what it's about. Go to the next verse. Abraham took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and their substance, and they gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go in the land of Canaan into the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan was already inhabited. Understand this. There were already people living there. So imagine Abraham, okay, I'm here. There's people. This is going to be my land, our people's land. What's going to happen to them? Where are they going? Because they're already here. They're already occupying the place. This is where you want me to go? Yep, that's where we told him to go. Next verse. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto your seed I will give this land. And there they built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. I'm going to give you this land. Abraham believed the point of not just saying, yes, God, I believe. He did it by leaving. He actually left his homeland, left his family, went to this land, God said, and did what he told him to do. That's what believing is. That's what faith is. We need to believe again, church. We need to believe. Man, we used to have so much faith that God could do anything. And now sometimes we question, God, will you or can you? Yes, he can. He can. The world has tried to damper our spirits. We see so much negativity, so much violence, so much chaotic stuff. You know, we have ISIS rising up in America. We have, you know, we have morality collapsing in America in many, many facets. We see a lot of things changing that we don't like as Christians. But it doesn't mean God's not still in charge. It doesn't mean God's not still king. It doesn't mean God's not still on the throne. It don't mean God's not still fully aware of what's going on and that we're still his seed. See, church, I'm saved whether the world's how the world goes, I'm still his. No matter how bad the world goes, no matter how dark this nation grows, I'm still the light of God. Regardless. So don't worry about that. You're still his child. You're going to be protected. See, Jesus said the wheat and the tares will grow together for a season, and then he'll separate them, and he'll know who his are. Right now, that's kind of growing together. It's growing, but you know what? God knows his seed, and we're his seed, and we're the wheat. Believe who you are in Christ. Believe that same Holy Spirit that saved you is still there. See, some folks say, I don't feel God the way I used to. Look, the Holy Spirit's still in you. Don't just leave you. It's there. It's a matter of us walking in and exercising it and using it and applying it in our lives, saying, Holy Spirit, you're there like you were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last week. You're always there. It's a matter of me walking in what you have given me and planted in my heart. Your Holy Spirit is something, Lord, I can just exercise anytime I call on your name, but I got to do it. See, I find myself being distracted by the world, being distracted by family obligations, being distracted by other things, and I find myself, wow, God, I've not talked to you really like I should have personally. I've just been putting out fires. I've just been doing this and that and going here and there. And we find ourselves growing weak when we do that. We find ourselves growing bankrupt. We find ourselves growing empty. We wonder, God, I want to. You know, people are hungry for the move of the Holy Spirit. They're just not sure what they're hungry for. They're just hungry. And the Holy Spirit is still so alive and so well, and so moving in the earth, if we would just believe that God, yes, I can still feel your presence. God, your presence is still enough. Your word is still enough. You can still give me what I need in this season of my life. We can't go back to an older season. I can't go back sitting in the hallway with my mom eating peanut butter cookies and drinking milk during a thunderstorm. I can't go back to that season again. I might not like the season I'm in, but that's where I'm at. So, God, I need you in this season of my life. Seasons change so dramatically. You know, I've been married 23 years now. We have two almost grown, pretty much grown kids and one almost teenager. And our season a lot different than it was when we first got married. Me and Melanie first got married, just me and her, frolicking through the meadow. Just me and her, you know, no cares, no worries, Hakuna Matata, baby. You know, only two people in the world. Then the first kid comes. Boy, things change. Then the second kid comes, and things really change. Then the third kid comes. And this fourth kid, oh, I'm so glad. I would just leave you plenty of money and see you. I'll send them birthday gifts and Christmas presents. Our season changed dramatically. And as you grow older, things happen. You lose people you love. God just changes direction sometimes, and you don't understand it. But you got to believe that God's still there and that God's still in your season. And God is going to see you through until the end. I believe what Jesus says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I will be with you to the end. God hasn't dropped you or forgotten you or forsaken you or left you. God is still very much the God of your life, and he's still there to help us if we will believe again that he can. Faith is something that has been so challenged because of so many different doctrines being taught against it, against faith in God, against someone you can't really see, against the fairy tale mythology of the Bible and all the stories and the Word of God. And you either believe it or you don't believe it. But for those that believe it, it's life. You know, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. I believe it. Paul was a bad man. He was a wretched man till Jesus changed him. Wretched. And then God spoke to him and completely transformed his life because he believed what he heard. Go to Romans now. I want to cross this over from Genesis. This is Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. This is Paul speaking. It is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. I love the way this is worded. Who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Paul says, against what I could see possible, I still believed it. It didn't seem possible, but I believed it enough to do it. See, God wants our obedience. Obedience is a real show of faith. It's like when you tell someone you love someone. You can tell them all you want, but if you don't show them you love them, you're not showing anything. Saying I love you is not enough. Doing that, carrying that love out, shows them, yes, you love me. Abraham could have said, okay, Lord, I believe you. Yeah, another land, that's good. Yep, I believe you, Lord. That's great. I can't wait for that to happen. So what do I got to do? Well, you got to leave. Well, really? Well, I believe you, but you know, I believe you, but. Faith is complete allegiance to God, regardless of situation. Faith. Faith. We've let the world dilute that out of our lives so much. We've let other people dilute it. Just accept it. Accept what you have. Accept how it is. This is how it's always going to be. It's just what it is. This is just life. This is the cards you've been dealt. Da-da-da-da-da-da. All the stuff we hear is just saying, no, I'm going to rely on what got me through all these years, by faith. God is still God, and he's my God. And there's nothing bigger than God. There's nothing stronger than God. There's nothing higher than God. There's no other name that's excelled over the name of my God. And at the name of Jesus, every chain can break, every demon must flee. That is the truth, and that is what God's word says. There's no greater power than our God. There's no greater king than our God. He died, he rose, he ascended, and now he lives inside of us. We are a walking vessel of the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Every single day, a living God lives inside of us. Our God is not dead. He is surely alive every day of our lives. Believe that and watch what God will do. Trust him again. He's King and he's Lord.
He still passes your way and heals the sick. He still passes your way and restores your marriage. He still passes your way and provides blessing and protection. He watches you day and night. Our God slumbers not, nor does he sleep, but our God is constantly walking, watching over his seed and watching over his children every moment, every second, every day. His eyes don't close. His hand doesn't stop touching us. His feet doesn't stop following us. He is an ever-abiding, ever-present God, a refuge in our time of trouble. That's the God we serve. That's the God he is, and we are his children, and he never, ever forsakes us. We forsake him and don't call upon him like he desires. We've got to talk to him, church. We've got to return and say, Lord, I believe you. Some of your situations right now, you need the hand of God to deliver and set free. There's no other answer but God. And you're trying to do it yourself. You're trying to carry that burden. You're trying to figure it out. You're just carrying it. You're in discouragement. You're in depression. You're battling all this anxiety. And God says, cast all your burden on me, for I careth for you. Cast all your burden on me. My burden is light. God wants us to give him our problem. He wants us to believe he can fix it. God can fix any problem we bring to him, no matter how bleak it may look. And I know how the devil works. I know how the enemy comes into our minds and sows those seeds of doubt, those seeds of unbelief, those seeds of discouragement, those seeds of fear, those seeds of what ifs, those seeds of worry of the future, all the seeds that he tries to sow into our lives. We should not fear or we should not worry anything the devil says, because he is a liar. So we know anything the devil whispers to us is not truth. So we cancel that out right there and say, I know it's not truth because you're talking to me, devil. You're not going to tell me anything I want to hear. I know it's a lie. But what God says is the truth. What God says is, I will never leave you, forsake you. What God says is that I am more than a conqueror through Christ with me. God says things in the Word that builds me up and encourages me and reminds me of who I am in him. And so I know that God lives in me. I know my future. I know where I'm going. I know that death can't hold me. Grave won't keep me. I know hell can't have me. I know the world can't destroy me, because God has already saved me. Because God's already sanctified me. Because God's already redeemed me. Because God's already paid such a great price that my debt is paid in full. And I am free from the curse of the law and any obligation I owe man. But God has said, you know what? I've set you free. And who is free indeed. Who I set free, who the Son has set free, is free indeed. Church, we are free to serve, free to love, and free to live in the power of a holy God, because that's who he's called us to be. We're his children. We're not broken down, defeated, worldly, demon-possessed people. We are God's people. We are God's children. We are the elect, called according to his grace. We are the redeemed. We are the seed God is talking about. Do you know we are from the Abrahamic seed? We, by faith, have become righteous, not by our works, but by what Jesus did. If you believe I took away your sin, you are right standing before me. Yes, Lord, I believe that. You are right standing before me. No weapon, no enemy can ever take away what I've given you, redemption and freedom and forgiveness all of your days, because you're my child. And you're my seed. That's the God we serve. Believe some of that stuff, and all of a sudden the devil will look pretty small. You know why the devil looks so big? Because we don't see how big God is. We, you know, the word magnify, I love the word magnify in the Bible. It says magnify the Lord. Magnify means make bigger. You know, we get a magnifying glass, and we get, you know, my age, can't see close up, you got to start magnifying stuff. In fact, that thing I read for Ralph, I had a mentally printed off bigger so I could see it. I said, blow that up a little bit. You magnify it. Magnify means it's bigger. So when we magnify God, what are we doing? We're making him bigger. We're seeing him as he is. Oh my God, you mean I've let this destroy me? I've let this control my life? I've let this rob me of my peace and my joy and my time? Whenever God, you are so big, and the enemy is so defeated, and the enemy has already lost the battle, and we have already won the battle because of what Jesus did. We are victors in Christ always. Calvary crushed the power of the enemy. It crushed it. The devil thought he had it all under control. One day goes by. Yep. 2 days go by. Gone. 3 days. He's up eating his bacon and eggs. Third day, we're good. All of a sudden, he hears some rumbling going on. Something's changing. I see my crystal ball and something's happening over in that tomb. What's going on? What's happening? The same Jesus the devil thought was gone did exactly what he said he would do. 3 days, I'm going to destroy this temple and build it back up. 3 days, he came out of the tomb. Grave clothes couldn't hold him. The same Jesus with the nail-pierced hands, with the same body that God raised from the dead. And when he came out of that grave, when he rose and was resurrected, our redemption was sealed because he conquered death, because he overcame death. None of us will ever face death. You understand that? We won't face death. Our body may give out, but we, our soul, our spirit, our conscience, will never be in a place of separation from God again, ever in a place of darkness, ever away from God, because he rose from the dead. We too have overcome death, and the enemy no longer has that ace card to hold over our head. No, I've already overcome. You have nothing to hold against me because God has completely justified me and declared me innocent. And that, church, I believe that I am not guilty by the things I have done because Jesus took all of that upon himself to forgive me and wipe me clean and say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. This is my child. Don't they look pretty? Look at them. How can they look pretty with all they've done? Because my blood has washed all their sins away. My God, we sing songs about the cross and about the blood, and we still want to live lives of defeat and lives of God don't love me and God's holding something against me and God's this. And we have all that belief system in our heart that keeps us so burdened down. And God wants us to break out of that and quit listening to religious people that try to put you in hell every day you meet them. My God, listen to the voice of truth to say, you know what, God, you've forgiven me, and I'm yours. By grace, I am saved. It is a gift of God, lest any man boast. It's not how holy I try to be or try to act. God, it's how holy you are. It's your holiness in me that saved me. It's your holiness in me that redeemed me. And God, I believe that. I believe that. It's time I believe. See, in order to get anything spiritually, to get anything from God, we've got to first know who we are in God. We've got to know who we are. We've had an identity crisis. We don't know who we are anymore. We've lost our way of who we are. If we're in Christ, he's our Father, he's our King, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our everything. He's our I am. I love the phrase when he says I am. I love it. I am whatever you need me to be because our seasons so change. I am the one that will fix your problem. I am the one that will watch over your children. I am the one that will save your household. I am the one that will make sure you never go hungry or thirst. I am the one that will keep you healthy. I am the one that will watch your ways. I am the one that will ordain your steps. I am. Whatever that is, I am. When your situation looks impossible, I am. When things look bad, I am. Just trust me. We are so blessed in this nation. I said this Wednesday night, I believe. We were so blessed in this nation that we have become so, and this is not to offend or make, I'm just being totally honest. We have become so dependent upon what man can do for us that I think we've forsaken the true dependency of what God can do for us. Because, see, if we need a fix on anything, we can go to anybody now and get it. You know, if we got any kind of, they got a pill for any physical condition you got. I got an eye that keeps doing this. They got a pill for it. My nose hairs itch. They got a pill for that. I'm just telling you, go to your doctor and tell them, my little toe throbs 3 times every hour. I got a pill for that. And we're just so accustomed to getting help in the natural realm that we've forsaken the spiritual realm. There was a time, church, that when we needed healing, we prayed. God, you can heal me and touch my body. Jesus, you can touch me and you can take it away. And he did. So many don't. See, you know, people don't believe that anymore. They're not being taught that anymore. So many aren't being taught that. They're being taught that, you know, well, God, you know, God knows best, which he does know best. I know that. He knows best, absolutely. But it don't mean I quit believing. It don't mean I quit praying. I quit trusting God that he can take care of my situation, whatever that is. God can provide. We are so blessed in this nation, and we are so dependent upon other things that we've just, I think, in a lot of ways, withdrew from really depending on God. What if all the doctors in America, there were no doctors in America? There was no medicine left in America. We turned to God then, wouldn't we? We had no choice.
God, I need you. We do need them. Believe again. Abraham believed so much that he left what he was comfortable with to something he didn't even know, trusting that God was going to give him what he said he was going to give him. That's a lot of faith. Next verse. Him being weak, not in faith, considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. Remember, Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100. God said, I'm going to give you a kid. Sarah laughed. Isaac means laughter. 100 years old. Nobody here is 100, I don't think, this morning. Doc's the closest. Doc, think about this. Think about God spoke to you. You're going to have a kid. Think about that. What would your reaction be? I don't blame you. Yeah, you already have. You already got an RV. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's womb is dead. She cannot have any life at all. And God says, I want to give you a seed. They had to believe beyond hope. Because Abraham wanted a seed, a special seed. And God gave it to him. He staggered. I like this verse. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but instead, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham didn't even stagger at it. Didn't miss a step. Not only did he believe, he believed strongly. Yes, God, you're going to do this. How do we get that kind of faith again? That's the question. And you might say, Pastor, I've heard it, but how do I get that kind of faith? I don't have that kind of faith. I don't maybe believe that way, or I don't pray that way, or I'm not sure what God can do or what his will is in my life. How do I get that faith? You spend time with God, number one. You talk to him. See, we can't know someone unless we fellowship with them. You know, most marriages end because really of a lack of fellowship, a lack of people doing their own thing and drifting away from each other, not talking to each other, not being intimate with each other, not, you know, sharing with each other, just kind of doing their own thing until their own lives just drift apart. This is why when I counsel married couples, especially younger ones, I tell them, do things together. They got to be your best friend. If they're not your best friend, you're going to have a problem down the road. They got to be your best friend. You need to want to go with your wife to the beach more than you want to go with your boys to the beach. That's just truth, church. You may not like it. That's doggone truth. Not saying we can't do things away from our marriage. I'm just saying, you start doing stuff all separate, you start drifting. We start doing things apart from God, we start drifting. All of a sudden, we're not talking to God like we were. We're not praying every day. We're not getting the word. We're not taking any requests to him. We're just not talking to him. All of a sudden, we start finding ourselves very distant, don't we? And what we used to just be able to walk into and drop on our knees and just feel the ushering of the Holy Spirit immediately, now we're praying, God, are you still there? Can you still hear me? I hadn't talked to you in a while, but the dynamics changed completely. Abraham was strong in his faith. We're strong in our faith by spending time with God, knowing him, hearing from him, letting him speak to us and knowing what he can do for us, being in his word. This word's powerful, church. It's living. This is not a dead scroll. This is not books on a page that are dead. There's life in these verses. There's life for you. There's life for your family. There's life for your soul, life for your mind, life for your home. There's life for you in this word of God. It's life. We've got to get into it and let it become life again to us and become real. Because Jesus speaks to us through his word so clearly, even now. He says in Isaiah, by his stripes, I am healed. To know I've been healed of the sin sickness I was born with. Wow, what a powerful thing. I've been healed of that. I'm no longer sin sickness. I'm now righteous and forgiven because of what he did. Any more verses? Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Have we gotten away from that? That what God promised, we got to be persuaded. Yeah, God, you can do what you say you can do. I still believe you. We read all these stories, right? David and Goliath, you know, and Samson and off his feet, and Daniel in the lion's den, and all these Peter walking on the water, and all these great miracles, and we think that's all died, and that's just all for, that's not died. God still
is the God that can shut the mouths of lions, part the Red Sea, do whatever he wants to do. He's still that God in our lives. But believe again. The Bible says it's impossible to please him without faith. You know what that means? It means that we're not going to get or walk in the things of God we desire if we don't believe. We got to believe. We got to believe in God more than we believe in what our situation tells us to believe. I know it looks bleak. We've had storms in our lives, church. Y'all can gather that by times I've talked up here. We got battles and we got storms, but I still believe God is bigger than all of them. And I believe God's deliverer of all of them. And I believe I'm still his child. And I believe in the end, just like Paul, I'll have a crown and I'll have the victory. And I'll say, I finished the course, kept the faith, and now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only to me, but to all of you who love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a crown waiting on all of us, church. There's a victory party for each of us. There's a finish line we are going to cross. And we're going to hear these words, well done, my servant. Welcome home. We can run the race here when we know what the prize is. I mean, think about that. If I told all of y'all, I tell you what, if y'all let me preach at 12:30 today, I'll give each one of you $1,000. I bet y'all would be pretty perky and none of you would leave, because I'll endure all the boring preaching. I'll endure all the talking. I'll endure all this cool air put me to sleep right now. I'll endure all that to get that $1,000. Well, we know what's waiting on us in the kingdom: eternal life, eternal healing, restored mind, restored body, restored life, worshiping, praising God forever and ever. Boy, that's something to run for. That's something to hang on for. That's something to believe in. Like the old rock and roll song of the 80s, give me something to believe in. Give me something to believe in. Huh? Yeah, and Don't Stop Believing too. Yeah, another good song. Don't stop believing. Da-na-na-na-na, you know. Just don't stop believing. You keep believing, church. God's going to move. Keep believing. And I'm like, here's the key, though. If God tells you to do something different, do it. If he tells you to move, move. Jump, jump. Walk, walk. Leave, leave. Stay, stay. Whatever it is, we got to follow what God says, because in order to fulfill the blessing he wants for us, we got to be where he wants us. And that may mean doing something radical like Abraham did, and saying, I'm leaving my comfort zone to get what you got for me, God. Because what you have for me is not here in the country of Ur. It's going to be over here in Canaan. That's where it's at. That's where my blessing's at. So God, I'm going to trust you enough to let go of some things I like, to embrace some things I don't yet know. But if you're in it, I'll win it, so to speak. It's that simple. Believe again. Start believing again. Believe. Now, some of your faith level radars are still good and you're high, but for some of you, you've been discouraged and not walking the place you know to walk in, because you just let life dictate that to you. Start believing again. Believe, believe, believe that God can do anything. Get an offered song ready, Mel. Just whatever. Pick something out. I don't have Chuck and Jules not here, are they? See them? Okay. It don't matter. Just pick something. Leave here today charged, encouraged, saying, I'm going to believe God again. I have stopped believing like I was. I've stopped trusting like I did. And I'm going to start believing again that, God, you know what? You can do this, and you are bigger than this. And I'm going to trust you so much that whatever situation you're facing today, that you're going to handle for me. Let's stand our feet. I want to just say a prayer with the church while she's getting that song ready. A prayer that if you need your faith increased, you are discouraged this morning. You let the enemy come in and rob you of your power in God. You let situations come in and drain you, and you're just not where you are spiritually. And you need a touch again. You need God just to fuel your fire, so to speak. I just want to pray this over the church. Father, your word is truth, and I know that. Your word's alive, I know that. I know the enemy fights us with discouragement, with fear, with tribulations, with problems, with storms. They come to all of our lives, Lord, no matter how holy we try to live or how
strong we are spiritually, each one of us face storms in our lives. And God, I pray over this body of people right now for a raised level of faith, that you increase our faith, that we return to believe again like we once did. God, used to, you could move any mountain out of our lives. You could slay any giant, and now we even question why we're alive. That's the enemy talking. That's the enemy speaking. You're still the giant slayer and the mountain mover and the sea parter. You've not changed. And I pray for an anointing of increased faith over this body, that we walk out of here believing you again, God, that we leave charged, encouraged, and uplifted, trusting you, that whatever our situation is right now, God, you are bigger, you are stronger, and you are greater, and that it will fall, it will break, and it will give way to your name and to your hand. In the name of Jesus, fill this sanctuary with faith, your people with faith, our hearts and minds with faith. Faith again, God, to trust and believe unconditionally, following you, listening to you, and walking with you, and not letting go, but truly going to the end, knowing, God, you've got us, you're not going to drop us or forsake us or let us go, and it will be realized in due season. Thank you, Lord. Fill this place with faith. Our place, our personal place with faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And a church said, amen. What you going to sing? Oh, that's great. Ushers, y'all going to be seated. Ushers, come on up and receive our offering. As Melon's going to sing this song here in a minute. It's a beautiful song. I love this song.